to the Creative Boss Babe podcast. I'm Emily, your host, and join me every week as I talk about running a creative business, a bunch of pop culture fun, and even more. So let's get into this week's episode. Hey guys, it's Emily, and today we're doing something a little different. I have been taking a break from my own mental health, so I haven't been creating much content, but I still wanted to put out an episode for you. So I decided to do a rebroadcast of one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done on this show with Jill Cimarelli, an amazing content creator. I am so excited for you guys to hear this in case you haven't gone back and listened to the episode or anything. So let's get into the episode. Okay, so hi guys, I'm here with the first guest of season two, and I'm so excited. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Jill Cimarelli, and I am a YouTuber, content creator. I don't even know what to call myself. but I am so excited to be here and honored that I would be considered a girl boss by you.
I'm so glad you said yes. I was so nervous reaching out to you because I've been watching it for so long. And you were one of the first people I wanted to talk to on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I love doing stuff like this. And it's going to be fun.
It will be. So why don't you give us a bit of background on like why you started YouTube and started your blog and everything?
Yeah, let's see. So actually, my very, very first YouTube channel was while I was in high school. I started it with the girl who was my best friend at the time. Her name was Caitlin, and our YouTube channel was called All the Rage. And I'm pretty sure I still have some subscribers that watched me back then, which is really funny and also embarrassing. All of those videos are totally privated now. and basically, like, we got to like 1,000 subscribers, and that was like, a huge deal to us. That's just a massive deal. The reason why we stopped doing it was because my family was moving, and so we weren't going to be able to like film together as often, all that stuff. So we decided that we were going to stop making our joint YouTube channel and sort of make our own separate YouTube channels, which is how my YouTube channel that everyone knows now was sort of born. But I didn't really start making videos right away after we like stopped our channel. It wasn't until the summer before I moved to LA, which I guess now like I probably just passed my 5-year anniversary because I'm coming up on 5 years in LA, that I started my YouTube channel. And just for whatever reason, it just came a little bit easier to me that time. And I went, I think like, sort of from when I started my channel to before I moved to LA, I went from like, 5,000 subscribers to like 20,000 subscribers or something like that. Just like really quickly.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is really unusual. And I just happened to have a video that sort of hit at the right time. And from there it just sort of kept going. So yeah.
Wow. When did you start working on your blog? Because I know you did a lot of that.
Yeah, my blog was just only like a year ago. I started that because I was just looking for sort of a new creative outlet. I felt like YouTube was not really like fueling me creatively the way that it used to. And I was just looking for something new that I could work on and you know, I just sort of felt like that was the right move. I've always really enjoyed writing. I love taking photos. So those two things combined seemed like a blog to me.
Does sound like it.
Yeah.
So just recently, I think last week, you stopped on your main channel. What made you want to do that?
So it all sort of comes back to just what I was saying, just being fueled creatively. It just sort of felt like I had started that channel when I was 19, now I'm 24, and you changed so, so, so much. Like, I know that doesn't sound like a huge gap, but 5 years is a lot, and especially between, like, you know, I started that when I was still living in New Jersey, and now I live in LA, and, like, that really changes you also. Like, just being on your own, you're not living at home, all of that stuff. So I just felt like my interest started to change, and I didn't know how to I just wasn't interested in like that sort of beauty DIY content anymore that I was making over on that channel. And again, it wasn't fueling me creatively. And I just felt like, why do I want to spend so much of my time working on a project that I don't even enjoy working on? And I feel like, you know, that's also then being dishonest to people who are watching me to like pretend like I care about my makeup. Like, I don't know. I like hardly wear any makeup. Like, you know, it's just, it didn't feel true to who I was anymore. And I feel like people could see that. And even the response that I got in that video was a lot of people being like, yeah, like I can tell that you're more yourself on your vlog channel anyway. So we're happy that you're making this decision. And that just sort of validated what I was thinking already. So it just, it felt like the right next step for me moving more into my adult life.
Makes a lot of sense. So you are always very like yourself on your channel. And a couple weeks back, or even a couple months, you did a video about 13 Reasons Why. Mm-hmm. And you started a conversation. And that's one of the reasons I really wanted to talk to you, because I feel like that's super important for people to start conversations, especially if they have an audience, because sometimes these conversations will not be heard. And so I really just wanted to talk to you about that.
Yeah. So obviously I knew everyone was talking about 13 Reasons Why, especially the second season. The first season was really controversial. The second season was just as controversial. I don't think that they are necessarily approaching it in an inappropriate way. And I understand everyone has their own thoughts on that, and I totally respect other people's opinion, which is sort of why I wanted to start the whole conversation, was because I felt like I wanted to hear what other people had to say about it, and so I could try to understand why people were so upset by the content in it. And I do understand it is very sensitive content. I totally understand and respect that, but I also feel like when you're watching 13 Reasons Why, you probably know enough about it that you know what you're getting yourself into. And so I would hope that if that's the kind of content that would affect you in a really negative way in your life, that maybe it's just not the right kind of content for you to be watching. And that's sort of like where I landed on that. I also watched, or rather read, the book like years and years and years and years ago. So I already knew, at least for this first season, everything that was sort of going to start coming. I mean, I hadn't read it for a long time, so there were still some things that I just hadn't remembered specifics of. But I just thought that it's one of those subjects that are considered so taboo. No one wants to talk about it. No one wants to offend anyone. And I do understand that, but I also think it's important to share your opinion. And even like on a more basic level, I think I have some viewers who are younger than me who I think it's important to learn how to talk about your opinion that differs from someone else's opinion without disrespecting the other person's opinion. And that's a huge skill set and really hard to learn, especially when you're younger. It takes like some time, I think, to come around to how to do that. And I think I'm even still continuing to learn how to do that. But I think it's a really important thing, which is why I try to talk about my opinion in general so much on my channel, because, you know, I just think that it's important to show people that you can express your opinion without thinking that, without disrespecting another person's opinion, I suppose.
So a lot of social influencers have like audience like yours. Do you think they should be starting more conversations like you did?
You know, I think that it's a personal choice that you have to make. I totally get why some people don't want to talk about issues going on, because they don't want to make any of their audience members feel uncomfortable or like they don't belong there. So I do think that it's a decision that you have to make for yourself, and I would never condemn someone else for not, making that decision. But at the same time, I do think that we're sort of in a time where it is important to use your platform for whatever it is you're passionate about. So you know, whether that be banning straws or helping to reduce, you know, the amount of animal byproducts that you use, or something going on in politics, or something like 13 Reasons Why, I think it is important to speak out about things that you care about. And it may not be the same things that I talk about, but, you know, being able to share your opinion with people and help to hopefully use the platform that you're given for good, I think is really important. And, you know, for me, I wouldn't feel comfortable not using my platform because I feel like it would be a waste of the opportunity that was given to me. But again, I understand the other side of it. And I definitely have, like, when expressing my opinion, had comments come up on videos that have been like, I'm unsubscribing because I don't like you talking about this. And that's just sort of one of those things that's going to come with, you know, what we have, you know, and that's the risk that you take by sharing your opinion. It's just something that I prefer to do, but I totally understand why other people might not make that same decision.
Mm-hmm. Do you think some of the influencers and social people have made the wrong choice in trying to talk about this? Like, thinking back to the Logan Paul situation at the beginning of the year and how he approached the entire topic about suicide and all of that, do you think there are people still, like, doing it the wrong way like he did?
I mean, yeah, Logan Paul would obviously be the prime example of someone doing it the wrong way. Obviously, I just think that he is garbage, to be honest. And, you know, I just think, you know, for example, using the Logan Paul situation, like, that's just not, you know, first of all, I don't believe him when he says that he was going there to try to raise awareness or whatever it is, you know, and just the fact that now he's making a documentary about what happened in the beginning of the year, and he's going to monetize even more off of the situation. It just, like, continues to show that, you know, he really doesn't care that that was a thing that happened, you know, like, I was outraged by that whole thing. I mean, it was, I just think that that is one of the most despicable things that's been done. Mm-hmm. And then, like, on top of that, I just felt like it was really supported not only by his fans, but also, like, by YouTube, you know, YouTube putting it on the trending page and all that stuff. And of course they explained it's the algorithm, you know, whatever. But I also just don't fully believe that either. I think that it was doing really well and they were making a lot of money off of it, because YouTube gets 50% of whatever a YouTube video makes automatically goes to YouTube. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when a video is doing really well, they want to push it to do even better because they're really making a lot of money off of that. And especially with a channel like Logan Paul's, where he's just done inappropriate things over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And just really hasn't learned, because his fans are diehard and will support him anyway, which is nuts. I mean, that's just absolutely nuts to me. But in a situation like that, you know, that I don't think that that is the right way to go about, you know, trying to spread awareness. I think you have to be sensitive and you have to consider the people who are going through whatever the topic is that you're discussing, and how what you're doing or saying might affect them.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree, because I remember watching it and I actually put off watching it for probably 12 to 15 hours. Mm-hmm. And when I finally watched it, I'm surprised it was still on the platform because of what the content was.
I know.
And it didn't make sense to me why it was on the trending page, why they had left it up for so long, and why, like, he didn't say anything about it on social media other than just posting the video.
Yeah, you know, like, I just felt like it was a really bad situation. And, like, on top of that, YouTube does have a really strict algorithm. Like, my YouTube videos for a long time were getting demonetized every single time that I would upload, and being marked as something that was promoting terrorism, which, I mean, is...
That is, like, really weird.
I know, like, obviously, it would literally be me in Disneyland and it would, like, get marked as promoting terrorism.
Wow.
You know, like, they do have a really strict algorithm that catches things, you know, and even catches things that aren't true. I would have to, like, submit it for review, and then they would see that it wasn't promoting terrorism, obviously. Yeah. And then it would get remonetized. So I also think that's a little fishy. Like, if they can catch my Disneyland vlog, then they can probably, catch a video about a suicide forest, you know, that feels like something that would fall straight into their algorithm and be demonetized right away, if not just taken off the platform right away. I also just don't understand. They have really strict rules about the kind of creators that can be on their platform, but they will bend the rules for really big creators who they're monetizing off of once again. And it's just one of those things where I wish that YouTube would have just like taken a stand and just kicked him off the platform and you know, not that it would have made him disappear, but I just feel like it would have made a better statement by them. I think the whole situation made them look really bad as well.
Yeah, but then they tried to fix it all by changing the monetization, which really just affected smaller channels with like under 1,000 subscribers, where you had to have 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours for, which for a lot of channels like my channel, it's really hard to like get that goal.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know,
and I don't understand how that will change what happened with him, where really it just hurts the smaller channels that are trying to make it that have clean content.
I know. I remember reading about that and just being shocked, because I just don't understand how that's fixing the Logan Paul situation. You know, I don't understand how that's fixing any situation. But I think YouTube, when you come down to it, is a company that's looking to make money, which makes sense because that's what companies do. I understand from that point of view, but don't then like on top of that pretend like you really care about all your creators and you want people to, you know, start channels and you want to foster this community if that's not really your goal in the end, you know, like it's just not. Oh, sorry, Tara's texting me. Tara, shush.
So we kind of touched on a lot of the questions I have.
Yeah.
But one of the things I want to talk to you about is like, what do you think is the best way to approach these types of conversations for like smaller creators or just other creators who want to try and have these conversations with their audience but don't really know how?
Yeah. I think it's you're going to have to do it a little bit at a time. I think that's probably what I did. I don't even think I really started talking that much about like important issues until maybe like 2016, like when the last election started. I was pretty vocal about what I thought with that, because I felt like it was a big important subject. But before that, I would just try to sprinkle in little things, you know, like I remember I vlogged the day that that marriage equality passed throughout all of the United States. And, you know, so I definitely talked about that on that day. Or like with 13 Reasons Why, like when the first season came out, I sort of talked about my thoughts on that. And I think it's using little things that are happening in our culture at that time to just like prompt a conversation and to be really thoughtful with your words. I think being thoughtful, I think too many people talk they just go for it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to be thoughtful with what you say and thoughtful with your editing back. Like there's definitely things that I said during that 13 Reasons Why video that I, while editing it back, thought like, okay, like this actually might offend some people out there. And so I'm not going to include that in the video. But most of all, I would say, you know, if it's something that you feel passionately about, then I think it's important to talk about. And I think it's important to share things like that with your audience. Because you don't want to waste that opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
No matter how small your audience is, if you have literally 50 subscribers, that's 50 people who are tuning into your videos and 50 people who you then have an influence over, which is a big responsibility. Even 50, if you consider, I know 50 sounds like such a small number on YouTube, you know?
Yeah.
But like 50 people, that's a lot of people, you know? Like that's some people's entire high school class is like 50 people. Or, you know, like 50 people couldn't fit in my apartment. We would be like sardines in here, you know?
Yeah.
Like when you consider that, it's still a big a big influence that you can have, and you can still have effect on people. And almost when you have a smaller audience, you can have more of an effect because you can respond to every single one and have a deeper conversation with every single person who comments on the video, you know?
Yeah.
If you get, you know, 1,000 comments on a video, it's really hard to respond to all of them or continue the conversation with all of them past just one response. Yeah. But when you have that smaller audience, you have the opportunity to build relationships with them and really help to influence them in their lives. And a lot of the time your followers are going to be the same age as you or younger, you know?
Yeah.
And so think about the effect that you can have. I just think about, you know, like I'm really big on voting. I think that voting is really, really important. And a lot of my followers aren't old enough to vote yet, but I remember the very first like election that I cared about was in 2008. And that got me into a place where I was like ready to participate at the next election when I was going to be 18. Yeah. And so I think just even just talking about, you know, voting and the importance in that, especially for women, because we didn't always have that right. You know, and even if it doesn't directly affect the people right then, you're sort of helping to like mold like what their thoughts are going to be, you know? Mm-hmm. A lot of people even will believe or listen to influencers more than they'll listen to their parents, you know?
Yeah, and influencers have a big reach now, being as they're seen more than TV stars and movie stars, because they're posting almost daily a lot of times. And so these kids and a lot of teens are watching these people more. So they really care about what they say. And I feel like that's kind of what the problem was with the whole Logan Paul thing, because he had 15 million subscribers at the time or something. And all of them tuned in because he was posting every day and they cared about what he said. And even when the entire controversy started, they all were fighting back and saying he didn't do anything wrong and that people shouldn't like be mad at what he posted. But that's because they didn't know any different.
Totally. And that goes to show the reach that you have. And hopefully you're then using your reach for good, unlike Logan Paul, who sort of uses it in a negative way. And you know, in my opinion, his followers are a little brainwashed, you know, like the little crazy, the stuff that he does. But I think there's something to be said about that, you know, that his, he had such a reach over his followers that he literally filmed a dead body, filmed himself just disrespecting the culture in Japan, filmed himself tasing a dead rat, and his fans did not care. In fact, he gained like way more subscribers. Like, probably gained like 5 million subscribers since that happened, you know?
Yeah, and I don't understand that either. Like I don't understand why they didn't put him on some sort of probation or stop his subscriber count. Something to, like, stop people from subscribing to his channel to show him that, hey, this was really wrong and you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was definitely an opportunity for YouTube to take a stand, and unfortunately they didn't, which I think they faced a lot of backlash about, but at the same time, you know, I'm sure it didn't directly affect their company or really change anything for them. And, you know, I think, like, that's a really good example of what you say, your followers will believe, you know? Hopefully, like, I think also I've sort of fostered a community of a lot of independent thinkers. So when I say things, people are not only welcome to, but even if they weren't, they are very quick to comment that they disagree with something that I said or to correct me on something or something like that. But there are definitely, try to keep in mind, there are people who are going to take what I say as, you know, the truth. And so, you know, you have to consider that and make sure that what you're saying is something that is safe for them to hear and is something that will positively affect them, hopefully, throughout their lives. I think that that's really important. It's just at the end of the day to try to have that positive effect moving forward.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So the last thing I wanted to ask is, what tips do you have for like smaller YouTubers and smaller channels? Because I've been watching your channel for a long time, and I know there have been a lot of people that do that might want to make content, but don't exactly know like what they should do, and especially if they want to have that type of like really close-knit following where they could start a conversation and do that type of stuff. So what tips would you have for them?
Oh man. So the first thing I'll say is that right now it is harder than ever to start a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And that's really sad. And I think that I wish that YouTube was not making it so hard. It is so different from when I started. You know, when I started, if you uploaded a YouTube video and, you know, typed in some keywords into the search bar, your YouTube video, whether you had 2 subscribers or 100,000 subscribers or however many, a million, if you typed in the right keywords, your video would show up first in the search. And it's just not like that anymore. It's really, really hard for discovery of new channels, you know, when you don't already have following. Literally, I've even heard people who have 1 million subscribers being affected by the way their algorithm works. So, you know, imagine, you know, being a smaller channel with, you know, 100 subscribers or whatever it is, you know, it's really tough. So the first thing I would say is just buckle in, because you are going to work 10 times harder than your favorite YouTuber had to work. And that's really sad, but that's the truth. I think making content that you're passionate about will help you to not only keep you interested in your YouTube channel, because obviously if you're not making things you care about, you're not going to, you know, continue working towards it. So content that you're passionate about, talking about things that you care about, and then just sort of trying to know your audience, like pay attention to trends that are going on. You know, there's no better way to be discoverable than to make, you know, popular, make whatever the popular video is right then, which is not always something that may feel really true to you. But if for discovery purposes, I think someone told me this once, like do one for you and one for them, you know, like do one video that maybe you're not quite as passionate about, but you know that it's a big trend that's going around, and then do the next video as something that you're really passionate about that you're making for you. And just sort of using that structure as a way to be like, okay, like I'm going to make this slime video, even though I don't care that much about slime. But then the next video that I make is going to be something about something that I'm more passionate about, you know? And then consistency is really important. The beginning of my YouTube channel, I was uploading every other day, which was crazy and a lot. And I don't expect anyone to do that. I have no clue how I did it. I was literally... a video would upload on the same day that I was filming the next video, and then I would use the next day to edit it, and then it would be uploaded and I would be filming the next video, you know, like, but there's something to be said for that hustle, you know. I was putting a lot of content out there, which is probably why my content got viewed as often as it did. And that's not going to work for everyone's schedule. You know, at the time I was just in school, and it was summer break. I was in college, so the only thing that I had was I was working part-time at Abercrombie, and that was the only like obligation that I had. Obviously now, like as an adult, I just don't have that kind of time to commit to it. But if you do, I think there's something to be said about at a minimum uploading twice a week, maybe even 3 times a week if you can. And then also maybe just creating a little schedule for yourself. You know what day you're going to film, what day you're going to spend editing, what days you upload, sharing that upload schedule with your followers. That way they know when to tune in. A big thing now is, you know, telling your followers how to turn on post notification for your videos because, of the whole sub box debacle that YouTube is doing right now. And you know, something that I found is I had never turned on post notifications for a YouTube channel before, just because I just hadn't. But going through that process of just turning it on for someone, and you can turn it right off if you don't actually want post notifications for them, but seeing specifically what your followers have to do to turn on post notifications is important, because actually there are a lot more steps than you would think. It's like clicking subscribe and then clicking the bell and then going into settings and choosing that you want to be notified every time they upload rather than just a few times. And so just sort of knowing that process to hopefully be able to walk people through it is important also. There are a lot of steps now. YouTube hasn't quite made it that easy for people to be notified about your videos. In my opinion, if someone clicks subscribe, they should be notified because that means that they want to be. But that's just not the way that it works anymore. And, you know, no matter how much we complain about it or whatever it is, like that's just life at this point on YouTube, and we just have to get used to it and figure out our ways around it. Mm-hmm. So I would sort of turn on the post notifications for a channel and see what it looks like when a post notification comes through and all of that. That way you can encourage your followers, walk them through how to do it. And hopefully they can take, you know, in the end, it takes, you know, 60 seconds to do all the steps. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to take that extra time to do it, which I understand because I don't do that either. I don't post notifications on for anyone. I think at least know sort of what it takes for someone to turn on notifications to be notified about your channel.
Those are amazing tips. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. I hope that they're helpful to you and to anyone else who is listening.
I'm sure they will be. So thank you so much for coming on the show. We've actually covered all the topics I wanted to cover.
Great.
Thank you so much. This has been one of the best interviews I've ever had.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was so much fun. I can't wait to listen back to all of my rambling.
Do you want to let the listeners know where they can find you?
Oh, yeah, sure. So you can check me out on my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/extrajill. Or you can just type in Jill Cimarelli. Or you can find me on Instagram. Again, Jill Cimarelli. Twitter is J Cimarelli. Pretty much if you type in Jill C, I should pop up. So, yeah.
You guys should definitely check her out. She's so amazing. I'm not even just saying that because she's on the podcast. She's really amazing.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, this was so much fun.
I'm glad.
Are you ready to streamline your business with one amazing CRM software? Sign up now for Dubsado and save 20% off your first month or year when you use the code Canyon Moon Creative Co. You can use Dubsado for a variety of different things, from contracting and invoicing to creating to-do lists and setting up portals for your clients. There's so many amazing, amazing things that Dubsado can do that I highly recommend you adopt it into your business and use it so well. It's amazing. So again, if you guys want to save 20% off your first month or year with Dubsado, then you should check out canyonmooncreative.com/resources. It's linked in the description of this episode. Click there. You can find Dubsado and use our discount code now to sign up and get your business started on the right track. Guys, since signing up, Flowdesk's email marketing platform has changed the way I operate my business. The simple, aesthetically pleasing platform has taken my biz from one newsletter a year to once a week, if not more. With amazing, easy-to-customize templates from the Rising Tide Society and Jenna Kutcher, you can find the perfect email template for you. Each template also includes a plug-and-play copy and amazing fonts. You can sign up right now and get a free month plus 50% off your subscription now when you sign up at flowdesk.com/c/dreamnow. Again, you can sign up at flowdesk.com/c/dreamnow. This is one tool you definitely should have in your creative business toolbox. So yeah, that's it for this rebroadcast episode. I know, you're like, we want new content. It's coming, I promise. I will be back Tuesday with a brand spanking new episode for you guys that I'm so excited about. That being said, I did want to let you guys know of two special announcements. One is that the Amelie Society, my content template membership, is officially open. You guys can learn more about it now by heading to the link in my description or going to canyonmooncreative.com/society. You can learn all about it there, see what it can do for your business, check out a freebie or two, and really just get it because it will help you so much. Also, I wanted to let you guys know that we are also launching a summit for this summer. So if you guys want to learn how to turn your passion into a brand, you guys can sign up for the Branded Babe Summit now by heading to the link in my description or learn.brandedbabesummit.com. You can sign up there. It's completely free to attend, and there's going to be so many amazing speakers and talks about how to do everything from brand yourself and build your own website to how to grow on Instagram and how to write emails and start an email list. It's
There's so much incredible content coming, guys. So go sign up for that. Go join the Amelie Society and get ready for all new content coming on Tuesday. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.